At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Some days call for working up a sweat, working on your passion, and endless action. Ditch the glitch with Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Refreshing flavors like strawberry kiwi and blackberry lemonade. Scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour Coach. If you're looking to get better at coaching, teaching, or playing the game of golf, you're in the right spot. I'm about to take you behind the scenes, inside the ropes, with all of the people I meet on my journey in the game of golf that are here to shed some experiences and shed some information that's going to help your journey improve and get better. Get ready. Let's go. Let's get better. So joining me here on the Tour Coach, this is Scott Fawcett walking in. We're live from Open Forum. Not live, because it's being recorded, but anyway. Fawcett, I'm balling your table for just a little bit. Anyways, Michael Dutro, the force plate guy, really gotten to know him a little bit over the last few years, was impressed with the stuff, talking with you a little bit at the Golf Magazine Top 100 Summit. Thought we could get there and just pick your brain a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about, you've put up some interesting posts lately. You put up one the other day, and I can't remember it. But let's talk a little bit about ground forces, some of the things that you've noticed. What are some things that you've seen that, you know, maybe people don't under? Give me maybe your top two or three things that people misunderstand about it. I think that's a good way to go.
I think that's a great way to go. And before I talk anything about that, I want to thank Tony and his sponsors for having me on the podcast. Tony's
a
mentor of mine, has been for a long time. And actually, and I've said this to you before, but it's you that actually changed a lot of the ways I thought about ground forces and led to a lot of the ways I think now. So thank you for what you've done. But with that being said, you know, what I'm going to talk about tonight from the stage is a lot of what I think is important for the average golfer.
Okay.
Because primarily, as you know, we pay our bills with people that don't play professionally. And that's what
exactly.
We coach, right?
And I think people get away from that sometimes.
Right.
They think everybody that walks into you is Colin Morikawa.
So I've been very privileged and blessed to have multiple sets of force plates. And I travel quite a bit extensively throughout the country and across the world doing force plate things. And I constantly see pressure mats that, you know, the body tracks, the V1, all that stuff from back in the day. I see it just tossed in a corner somewhere and everybody acts like it doesn't have any use. And what I think is important is pressure. Because what human beings do and feel is human beings do and feel how they apply pressure to the golf club. And human beings do feel how they apply pressure to the ground.
Right.
So let's get away from the fancy graphs and the forces and the torques. And let's just talk about pressure. And here's a really cool thing. If we are applying pressure with our hands, then we're going to have to decrease the pressure we're applying with our hands. And I'm sorry, our feet, and vice versa, because we're a closed system. So if you want somebody to increase their ground force, then they better be softening up them hands and not trying to squeeze the daylights out of the golf club. and vice versa, right? Just like when we want them to pump that ground hard, okay, and they're trying to load, we're going to have to decrease that pressure in the hands. And so many golfers are trying to manage, I believe, the braking system or getting the face square with their hands, wrist, and arms, when in reality they're standing on the right foot, Tony. And if we're standing behind the golf ball trying to hit it with our pressure, it's going to be really hard to square that face. So I think getting back to maybe a little more grassroots, a little simple stuff, or I know you come from down south, as do I, a little simpler for us, a little less graphs, but let's look at some pressure. That's what people feel. That's what people talk about. And more importantly, you can feel pressure application, but you damn sure can't feel a feeling. Or I'm sorry, a position, excuse me.
You know, I've always, as I've developed as a teacher, and I hope I've gotten better, right?
You have.
But I go back to, you know, early days of my teaching. I remember I was at the Boeing Championship, an old champion store event at Sandestin. Tom Kite was there and asked for my mentor, Hank Johnson, to watch him hit some. Hank wasn't there. I watched him hit some, but I just remember he was on my old V1 laptop, right?
Those the yellow daylight briefcase.
Yeah, right? And he ran a bunch of people down to impact. And obviously, Kite's a wonderful ball striker.
Absolutely.
And he drew a line up from impact, and that line, with all these ball strikers that I had, good ball strikers you had on those models back then, right? It would run right through their sternum, right? And this was before we had a force plate. And then you'd run people down that maybe weren't great ball strikers, and that line would go through a shoulder here, shoulder there, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, hey, if you can get them there, that's what good ball strikers do.
Do that one more time for me, Tony. So now, I know we're doing a podcast here, so we're going to have to be descriptive.
We got video.
But we got some video here. Now, you're right, and you're talking about that left arm, and you're talking about the left wrist.
Right, because, like, I'm right here.
Right. And you're talking about some kind of scenario where this is straight, right? Now, here's what I would say. I'm going to go opposite hand on you.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, you're right. If that's straight, then we have to have some kind of extension in that trail wrist. Now, here's what I try to tell people and try to make it easy for the normal golfer. The golf club does not twist in our right hand.
Right.
So we got good, nice new grips on there. It doesn't twist in the hand. So one thing we know about the face when we hold it is that the face is going to remain constant to the palm.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so now watch this. Now that face that remains constant to my palm is going to remain constant to where I want it to go, assuming that I return the club with the extension I started with.
Okay.
So in my belief, I think that most golfers are in the most trouble because they're constantly flipping that wrist going into flexion. Now here's the kicker. Like I said, I'm trying to ramp up my ground force in the downswing, right? So if I'm trying to ramp up my downforce, I've got to release the club through supination to keep that extension and keep the loft on the handle.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden I'm decreasing the pressure in my hands while I do that, and that allows me to use those ground forces like we talked about. But once again, we're not talking about forces, we're not talking about grafts or torques, we're just talking about squeezing and pushing. And that's what people feel, I believe.
Well, and I think the more, you know, Dr. Greg Carton does a lot of me, mental coach, right? And funny story for him, like one time I was teaching a kid, and I said, well, you know, he does it great. You know, you get one that's like, fuck, that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. He does
and
great.
And I'm like, hey, what'd that feel like? And a kid says something that was like, it wasn't what I thought, right? Like, I go, no. And Greg goes, wait.
You tell him how it feels?
He goes, if he says it feels like pizza, that's what it feels like.
Right.
Right? Because it feels like. And that's why I do so much. I've been fortunate to do all that stuff with Colby and Morgan. And
well, one thing I think that really gets...
But it helps him develop a feel for what...
Absolutely. Yeah. But the beauty in what you do, Tony, and I don't think a lot of people know this, but and you're very upfront, but it's not just you, it's your team.
Right.
And what I think you do an amazing job of is I think you're an amazing diagnoser, and you understand the X's and O's, and you understand what needs to happen. But what you and your team do an amazing job of is maybe they don't feel it when they're trying to swing a golf club because there's a lot of things that get in the way with that.
Right.
But maybe they feel it when they're working with Colby. Or maybe they feel it when they're working with Mo. Or maybe they're feeling it when they work in the gym. But the ability to create a feeling through applying pressure is what human beings do best, which is why I try to coach golf that way versus talking about positions, which once again, people can't feel while they're swinging a golf club without a mirror, without a launch monitor.
I think positions are bad.
I do too.
And I'm a big, obviously, pivot teacher. I think if you get, you know, I think for most purposes, if you get a good grip on them, you get them balanced and set up.
You want a sneak peek of tonight, what I'm going to say?
Go ahead.
It deals with pivot. And I figure maybe you're the guy to talk
sure,
pivot
I
with.
Sure, I can't wait.
You ready? I think I'm going to get the question, what's a pivot?
Okay.
You want me to give a definition?
I want you to give it to me.
All right. I'm going to blow your mind.
I'm ready.
It's a three-dimensional moment arm.
Okay. Now explain what a moment arm is.
Okay. So you got your center of pressure, and when you're standing still, if these are my feet, that center of pressure is right in the middle as we stand still.
Okay.
Your center of mass would also be right in the middle.
Okay.
Okay. We know that we want to move pressure to our right side, but we don't want our players moving that trunk all the way to the right. Right?
Right.
So we're moving pressure to the right, but the mass is staying centered. Mm-hmm. The farther I move that pressure away from that mass, the more distance, the longer the moment arm. Now let's make this simple for the people listening. If I got to take a nut off my tire to change a flat tire, and I have a wrench that's 1 inch long, I'm going to have a hard time getting that nut off.
Right.
But if I have a wrench that's 3 feet long, that nut's coming right off.
Right.
Right? So the longer
the
wrench.
The bigger the moment arm.
Right.
So the more you wind it up.
Right.
The more force you have.
The more time you have to apply work on the club. Yep.
Correct.
So here's a fun one for you. So you said and drew a straight line, and I think that's how most people talk about the moment arm. Now here's an interesting one for you. We're three-dimensional human beings. I don't think anybody's debating that these days. So because we're three-dimensional, anytime you move in three dimensions.
Right.
So here's a fun one. We're going to move straight, we're going to move away from the ball, and we're going to move up and down relative to the ball. So the fun thing is it's a three-dimensional movement that we generally try to talk about in 1D, which is kind of confusing for a lot of golfers at home and can't understand the difference between a sway and a pivot.
Agreed.
Makes sense?
Because I think one of the most number one thing I see, it even does affect tour players, but especially recreational golfers, is they're all trying to go for a right-handed player this way, and they move the pressure laterally by sliding because they don't know how to move it.
So here's my big ask for your people listening to this podcast. I really want to share this with you tonight, and this is something I'm going to challenge you as an amazing coach to do. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
We're going to change the confusing language.
Okay.
We're going to stop saying shift our weight.
Yeah, agree.
We're going to stop saying we shift our weight.
What are we going to say?
We're going to say we transfer our pressure.
Correct.
We transfer it from leg to leg. Right? It goes like this. People, if you don't know how to transfer your pressure and you're watching this, I'm going to show you. This is pretty advanced, but I'm going to pick up 1 foot at a time, and that is how we transfer pressure.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
You don't have to do, I don't have to be Shakira. The hips don't have to lie. I just have to transfer some pressure.
Awesome stuff.
All right.
Good luck tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for sitting in. We'll do this again.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that was great. Good stuff on the pivot.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.